This is Sports Saturday on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Nick Sciarra and Jose Partida.
All right, Sports Saturday continues. 1-800-777-2907. The UFC continues to produce cards left and right. I believe back-to-back weekends. One tomorrow. No, it's tomorrow. UFC Fight Night. Jeremy Stevens will be fighting. That'll be January 14th. And then UFC 220 the following weekend, which we will get into with Spencer Kite. He is on the hotline. You can follow him on Twitter at Spencer Kite. I think he writes for like 27 websites. What up, Spencer? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. It's down to like three now. I'm trying to keep it clean and tight for 2018.
So it's the province, UFC.com.
And the sporting news.
Sweet.
And that's it.
That's it. Only three.
Only three.
So fan site.
I'm always open to hearing offers if people got stuff they want to pay me for.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're definitely not getting that money from me. But yeah, I would be open to hearing offers as well. Thank you so much for joining the program, man. You're always cool about joining us, and you do a good job. Like I said earlier, the UFC continues to produce fight cards. I have trouble keeping up with them, and therefore I like to tune in to guys like you who is usually in the loop. But some breaking news, right? There's a couple of withdrawals going on. I think one with Robert Whittaker, and I think one with Uriah Hall, right, Spencer?
Yeah, so last night it was announced, late last night, Brett Okamoto of ESPN letting everybody know that Robert Whittaker was forced to withdraw from his upcoming middleweight title defense against Luke Rockhold. Was going to take place in Perth, Australia, so a hometown fight of sorts for Robert Whittaker. He's been pulled. Yoel Romero jumps in. It's now for a new interim title. So we had just gotten rid of it, and now we're bringing an interim middleweight title back. And then just a few minutes ago, not that long ago, Uriah Hall, his supposed to be co-main event with Vitor Belfort, which was going to be Vitor's retirement fight, it's been scrapped. Uriah Hall had some problems during his weight cut. Wasn't able to cut weight. So 2018 starts off the way that 2017 went, with more and more fights falling through, which is pretty unfortunate and something that, as an industry, we really need to look at and find some solutions to.
Yeah, injuries have definitely plagued the UFC and MMA promotions in general. It's just so hard for these guys to stay healthy at the intensity that they train at. And there certainly needs to be some sort of solution, or they should address it to at least minimize it. But I like how you kind of finished off with the Vitor Belfort fight, only because news had it that he was going to retire unless someone came at him with an incredible offer. Now Vitor Belfort, I believe, is 40 years old, has been linked to banned substances before, is clearly past his prime. Was that a safe move to make that public statement and say, hey, look, unless you pay me, I'm not fighting?
I mean, I think putting it out there as unless somebody offers me $10 million is a little bit crazy. I'm also not that sure how serious it is. I mean, Vitor's been talking about retirement for a couple of fights now. And then he always seems to go back on that. I spoke to him earlier in the week, and he seemed very much at peace with this decision. So of all the times he's talked about it, I feel most confident in this one, but that still only has me at about 50 or 60% max, because I think somebody will come calling with, a duffel bag full of $100 bills that says, hey, but what about one more? New Year's Eve in Japan, really, you're really respected and beloved in Japan. You want to come over here and do it one more time? Scott Coker likes calling old dudes and seeing if they'll keep fighting. So I wouldn't be surprised if Scott Coker at least gave him a call. But he sounds very, very much committed to expanding the gym franchise that he's built and the fitness lifestyle programs that he's developing. So it may take several months, but I think we'll probably end up seeing at least one more fight from Vitor Belfort.
And that's what I was thinking. I was just thinking, why would you say something like that? Perhaps you could still, you know, you've got name recognition, and perhaps you can still get that six-figure salary that perhaps most MMA fighters can't even come close to because you've been around the sport for so long. I imagine you're a big name in Brazil. If the UFC, you know, puts another fight in Brazil, perhaps they can throw you on that card and you can make a few bucks. I just thought that was interesting. But we're speaking with Spencer Kite here on SB Nation Radio and SBNationRadio.com. Is there anything that we can take away for the average fan about tomorrow night's card outside the headliner?
There are some good fights. It's to me, it's one of those fight cards that if you're a casual fan, the main event is going to be a really entertaining, really fun fight. Du Ho Choi is incredible. Jeremy Stevens has been around forever and is tough as nails. So that should be a great fight. There's interest in the Paige VanZant fight, obviously her first fight up at flyweight. She had a video story today with the Players Tribune detailing some of the difficulties of her weight cut last time out and how much better she feels fighting at this weight. So that's interesting. And I think the Darren Elkins-Michael Johnson fight is a very interesting fight as well. But there's not that big name. There's not that immediate person that's going to draw you in. And maybe Vitor Belfort and Uriah Hall were. But it's a solid card top to bottom, but nothing that's going to overwhelm you if you weren't planning on sitting down. And especially given that, you know, tomorrow's a football day, people are going to be watching the playoffs. Do you want to then spend another 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours watching a UFC event? Going into Sunday night when everybody's got to get up and get to work in the morning. So I think if you're looking for really need to tune in and really interesting and really compelling, it's the next weekend in Boston at UFC 220.
And we'll get to that in a second. But speaking of Paige VanZant, I read your piece where you practically say she sucks and she does not deserve to be in a cage. No, I'm just kidding. But no, I'm kind of with you. I felt like she was overrated. I felt like earlier in her career, she took too much damage. I know, you know, you enlightened me in the piece. She's since made her exit from Team Alpha Male and moved to Portland. So perhaps, you know, a fresh training regimen could change things up. But I'm with you. And you can only be marketable for so long, I think, unless you have a few wins under your belt. Now, I know Chael Sonnen has kind of been one of those guys that's been able to get away with it, but I'm kind of with you. What's the end game for Paige VanZant? Do you think she sticks around for a while?
I do think she sticks around. I think this fight is going to be very telling. This is one of the ones I'm looking forward to, just to see how much different, how much better she looks after a year off, after moving to Portland to train with Chael and his team. Fabiano Scherner is her head coach now. Different weight class and kind of not getting the push that she got. I mean, I hate drawing analogies to like professional wrestling and stuff because people kind of get upset, but she's felt like that Roman Reigns character where the UFC is like, this is the girl you need to follow. And fans are like, but I don't really want to because she's not that good. And the UFC just keeps saying, no, but she's the one we want you to pay attention to. As I said in the article, it's like, pull back a little bit. They did it with Sage Northcutt. He had the best performance of his career. He's still a 21-year-old kid. He still has upside. Paige is 23. She's 10 fights into her career, but so many of them have been in the spotlight that it's hard to judge her and rate her and grade her properly because we see her as a main event fighter, but she's not that elite talent yet. I think she could be down the road as she continues to mature physically, as she continues to gain more experience and sort of figure out who she is as a fighter, but she hasn't had a chance to do that without being in the spotlight. The interesting thing, of course, is that I made that argument and was speaking with her during the week and mentioned to her, like, after, does it feel nice to not be in the spotlight and have a little bit less pressure? And she said, no, I miss it. Like, I want to be in the spotlight. I love the attention. I crave that. And I said, well, then you're going to think I'm an idiot because I have this thing coming out. And she's like, yeah, I disagree with you. I want those things. So I made sure to note that in the piece. But I think it's just a time for her at 23 where there has been so much put on her. She would, you know, if you ask casual fans or you try to go and ask people that don't follow the sport to name five UFC fighters, she very well could be one of the five that they name simply because she's done Dancing with the Stars and she's headlined on Fox, but she's not one of the five best fighters in her division yet. And so I think she needs a little time. I think she is in a roundabout way getting that, but I also think if she goes out and looks good tomorrow night in St. Louis, we'll be hearing about Paige VanZant fighting for the flyweight title pretty soon.
Yeah. We're speaking with Spencer Kite here on SB Nation Radio and SBNationRadio.com. You can find his work at The Province. You can follow him on Twitter at Spencer Kite. All right, we've got a couple minutes left. We got to get into UFC 220, so we'll stick to the main card. Is this a situation where Stipe, as much as I love him, I love his personality, is this a situation where he could potentially get dethroned by an absolute beast in Ngannou?
Absolutely could get dethroned. If you look at the way sort of this fight has been put together and pushed, it does kind of feel a little bit like everybody is expecting him to, or some people are hoping he does. That to me makes it even more compelling because I don't know if people have been paying attention, but Stipe Miocic is a pretty damn good fighter. And he sort of sounded on the conference call earlier this week a little annoyed and tired of all of the questions about Francis Ngannou's power and are you concerned and what do you bring to the... Like, Stipe is a dude that if he never had to do media, he would be happy as can be because at the end of the day, they're going to get in the cage and we're going to get the answers to that. I think he is getting underrated a little bit here. It's crazy to me that he is the underdog going into this fight. I know what Francis Ngannou just did to Alistair Overeem. I know what he's done this whole way along, but Stipe Miocic has won his last five fights by knockout, and his last four have been in the first round, and three of those were championship fights. So for everybody kind of expecting Francis Ngannou to go in there and just steamroll this dude that's been on top of the division and may become the first guy to successfully defend the title three times if he wins next weekend, to just think it's going to be a cakewalk for Francis Ngannou is crazy to me.
Well, it just seems like you're only as good as your last fight, right? And when you come off an absolute beast of an uppercut knockout on Alistair Overeem, I think it catches people's attention. One of my favorite knockouts of all time was Jeremy Stevens, he had like an uppercut knockout way back. I think it was Rafael Dos Anjos.
And it was RDA's debut, yeah.
Yeah, and he just had this
across the cage.
Yeah, and it was just one of the sickest uppercuts that I've ever seen. And I really just, ever since that uppercut, Jeremy Stevens has literally been one of my favorite fighters in the roster. Just, if he never becomes a champion, I have no problem with it because I just love him that much. And I think that's the case that you have with Francis. And people are thinking, oh, my God, what is he going to do when he deals with that cage? Ultimately, man, we've got 30 seconds, buddy. What's your official pick for this fight? How long do you think it goes, and who's your official winner?
Stipe Miocic, technical knockout, round three, takes him down, beats the brakes off of him like he did Mark Hunt.
Wow. All right. Is he the favorite? Is he favored in this fight or no?
He's not. He's the underdog. And I think that's part of why it will get to three or four, and he makes this kid take a little bit of damage, take some punishment, show him as Frankie Edgar said after he beat Yair Rodriguez. There are levels to this.
Wow. Very much appreciated, Spencer. Good stuff. Follow him at Spencer Kite on Twitter. You can find his work at theprovinceufc.com and the Sporting News. Check out all his MMA work there. Spencer Kite, thank you so much for joining us, man.
Always a pleasure, man. Thanks for having me.
There you have it, Spencer Kite on the hotline joining Sports Saturday here on SB Nation Radio and SBNationRadio.com. It's Nick Sharara. It's Jose Partida. We'll take a quick one. Don't go anywhere. It's SB Nation Radio.